Sun Sounds would like to take a moment to thank the Green Valley Country Fair White Elephant. For many years, they have shown their support of Sun Sounds with several generous donations. The Green Valley White Elephant supports many fine organizations in Southern Arizona, and we are very grateful to be one of them. Through their remarkable efforts, the White Elephant reaches thousands of people every day, positively affecting their lives. Thank you to the fine people at the Green Valley White Elephant from all of us at Sun Sounds.
This is Sun Sounds of Arizona in Tucson, reading to make a difference for you. Stay tuned as we turn the page.
And good morning. This is Sun Sounds of Arizona. And as we do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between the hours of 9:30 and 10 a.m., we read highlights from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024. My name is Murray. I'm here with my partner, Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Murray.
And we'll kick it off with you, Bill.
Oh, okay. Five things to do. Here's one. Have some sugar-fueled fun at this year's Pima County Fair, featuring concerts, exhibits, car shows, and attractions running April 18 through the 28th at the Pima County Fairgrounds. That's located at 11,300 South Houghton Road, Tucson. And the number there for more information, 520-762-9100. Murray?
Thanks, Bill. You can also join the National Park Service in commemorating 100 years of balancing protection with enjoyment at the Chiricahua National Monument Centennial Commemoration. That started yesterday, April 18th, from 12 to 4 p.m. And at the Faraway Ranch located at 12856 East Rhyolite Creek Road in Wilcox. For more information, go to nps.gov/CHIR. Bill?
Yeah, Murray, this is something you can do coming up April 20th. It's bring your friends and check out a plethora. Yes, plethora of pre-1994 vehicles at Rodder Days. A tribute to the history of hot rods in Tucson and the guys who built them. Free and open to the public. As I said, April 20th. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Pima Community College downtown campus. That's 1255 North Stone Avenue. More information, TucsonStreetRoddersAssociation.net/Rodders. Murray?
All right, and meteorologists from the Tucson Forecast Office will help you to become a sky-worn spotter during a free 90-minute virtual severe weather spotter training class. That's tomorrow, Saturday, April 20th, from 10 a.m. till noon. You can visit the website weather.gov/TWC/spotter for more information. Or go to the google.com virtual class. Bill?
Murray, we can celebrate Mother Earth at the Aravaca Earth Day celebration with a bat presentation, planting party, National Pigment Workshop, that's Natural Pigment Workshop, and more activities for the entire family from April 20th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Aravaca. For information, go to facebook.com/Aravaca.dancehall. Murray?
All right, to some of the articles, there's a beautiful picture of a deer, a doe, in a lot of foliage, and the caption is Desert Wildlife, Winter Rains Bring Pretty Spring. This by Barb Bushy, and it says the Tubac resident Barb Bushy enjoys the abundance of plants and wildlife that also call the Sonoran Desert home.
Get a drink of water.
Okay. She shares some of her photos from the spring season, which looks especially beautiful this year thanks to higher than average winter rains. That the photos were taken in our Tubac yard and we're so fortunate to have the birds and wildlife we have right here, said Bushy. The plant up Pepla and vermilion flycatchers are favorites and not seen in other parts of the country. The Bushies relocated to this area almost two decades ago and continue to appreciate the landscape and all it holds. My husband and I moved to Arizona from Minnesota 23 years ago to Tubac nearly 20 years ago, and I'm still thrilled by the beauty that surrounds us here. And that really is a beautiful area right there on the Santa Cruz River. All right, Bill.
Okay, here's an article by Susan Poirier and Mitch Leamy, and it's special to the Green Valley News, entitled "It's Time to Sing Along with Pops in Tucson." In 2010, we made a wise decision when we elected to spend our retirement years in Green Valley, Arizona. Since that time, we have enjoyed the desert landscapes, different climate zones, impressive sunrises, monsoon rains, and a large variety of wildflowers, the diversity of wildlife, and the lack of snow in a peaceful retirement community. And coming up for the Pops in Tucson, and you can go on May 12th, and there's a guest artist named Gabrielle Ayala of Sarita on the 19th. It's Music for the Planet. May 20th, Memorial Day concert with the Tucson Pops Orchestra, featuring members of the Honor Guard performing Taps. Guest artists to be announced at that time. And where? All of this is at the Meemster Outdoor Performance Center in Reed Park. Concerts will also be held in September. More information, you can go to www.tucsonpops.org. Murray?
All right, thanks, Bill. We're going to go to Green Valley Gardeners, Bottled Brush Adds Drama, by Mary Kidnocker for the Green Valley News, a frequent contributor, I might add. An Australian plant family that quickly grabs the eye is the bottle brush. Also called Melaleuca, these plants produce dazzling 4 to 6 inch long cylindrical brush-like blossoms. Each flower consists mainly of stamens, which later develop into a profusion of seed capsules. With seeds enclosed, the capsules stay on the plant for extended periods, usually releasing annually. Bottle brush varieties are moderately slow-growing, with tree forms maturing up to 30 feet high and shrubs 2 feet or more high. All are evergreen and prefer to be planted in sunny, well-draining soil. They are drought-tolerant and thrive in hot, dry climates. Though able to withstand light frost, outer foliage may be damaged at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, but recovers quickly. Water young bottle brush weekly if there has been no rainfall. It is not necessary to fertilize until the second spring after planting. A 2-inch layer of compost will be sufficient. Allowing several plants to form will produce a shrub. For a tree, cut back to a single trunk. The unique flowers attract hummingbirds, butterflies, bees, and songbirds. Currently popular is a dwarf bottle brush called Little John, which has blood red blossoms that cover the plant for a long period. Its dense blue-green foliage reaches only 3 feet high and wide, making it a superior border shrub. This small plant needs only occasional water, is cold-hardy to 25 degrees Fahrenheit, and requires only minimal care. Lemon bottle brush is the most common calistemon tree. It is also the most tolerant of cold, heat, and poor soils. Growing to 15 feet high and spreading to 10 feet, it can be easily trained into a patio specimen. When its leaves are bruised, there is a slight lemon scent. Bright red flowers may occur throughout the year. For a more muted flower color, consider C. pallidus, which has yellow-white bristly blossoms. This bottle brush grows to 12 feet high with a spread of 8 feet. It is cold hardy to 22 degrees Fahrenheit and drought tolerant. Weeping bottle brush is an especially attractive tree with unique red blossoms on arched stems, cascading fountain-like nearly to the ground. With the branches too low to walk under, it will need to be pruned occasionally or planted away from walks and paths. This plant makes a fantastic focal point in the desert landscape, adding a tropical character. With their spectacular red brush-like blooms, bottlebrush plants paint a colorful picture in the desert. Why not look over the choices available and select the one that is best suited to add spice to your landscape? And the note here, the author, Mary Kidnocker, is a University of Arizona master gardener who lives in the Green Valley area. Bill?
Yeah. Here's an article by Corky Simpson, April 14th, entitled Along the Way, Enjoy the Agony. He writes, people who worry about such things believe diehard sports fans, the most enthusiastic ones, are looking for escape from monotonous lives or self-identity or purpose. They say fans might even display the social psychological phenomenon of disinhibition. Ouch! In other words, some brainiacs think sports fans are maniacs just because the sports nut goes through agony, stress, torture, and torment. More than a few million gathered in parties everywhere to enjoy and suffer the Final Four. The NCAA Men's Basketball Championship won this week by the University of Connecticut for the second year in a row. UConn, rah-rah Huskies. Purdue lost, but then somebody had to. A lot of barbecued burgers, chickens, steak, weenies, and other nummies were gobbled and went down good or not so good, depending on who you were rooting for. The Final Four finals ended in a 15-point rout for UConn, and yet even Husky fans were probably uneasy for a short time in the first half. But whether it's the Final Four, the college football playoff, national championships, the Women's College World Series of softball, the final day of the Masters, or World Championship cow chip throwing finals in Beaver, Oklahoma, devoted fans willingly, lovingly put themselves through what poet-songwriter Oscar Hammerstein called a conventional dither. That's because we who love sports care so much we can't wait to agonize and stress and spill popcorn, throw things, pillows hopefully, during the big event, as it helps to the team, which of course it doesn't. But going bonkers over the title game, the finals, the interplanetary absolute showdown of whatever is part of the fun. And you want to know who the craziest of the crazies are? They're the hired loonies of television who dissect the final Super Weenie Takes All Showdown World Championship on shout shows after the event. They scream and shout and slobber about sacrificed bunts and blocked punts. They knew all along what it would take to win. They know more than the coaches, the players, anybody. And these windbags are almost as much fun to watch as the sporting event itself. It all boils down to this. Agony in sports can be fun, along with the stress and torment and spilled beer and popcorn. Murray?
All right, and I'm going to go to this article about trouble with the local theater. Is it the end? Local movie theater owner fears foreclosure. Written by Green Valley News writer Kim Smith. A GoFundMe set up to help the struggling Desert Sky 6 cinema in Sahuarita has been abandoned, and the owner says he fears the bank will foreclose on the theater by the end of summer. Tom Becker and his partner Nick Sanchez purchased the 24-year-old theater in 2013 when the company Becker worked for began to sell all of the cinemas they owned. Becker thought of the purchase as his golden parachute and said the theater was doing well up until the pandemic. Last year's five-month writer's strike in Hollywood did not help matters. So there's not been a whole lot of product, and quite frankly, the theater is not being supported by the community, Becker said. We do in a day what we used to do in an hour. Filing for a Chapter 11 reorganization bankruptcy a few years back and receiving a $700,000 federal pandemic-related grant has kept them open, but they are not doing well at all, he said. It is really bad. There's no other way to describe it except to say it's a disaster. They've applied for an employee retention credit grant with the Small Business Association. They're behind $50,000 on their mortgage, he said. Over the last 18 months, only Barbie and Oppenheimer were the movies that have drawn good crowds, Becker said. The latest movies, Ghostbusters and Dune, aren't doing well at all. Theater manager Margie Backer said the demographics of Green Valley means a lot of movies doing well in other parts of the country don't do well here. Mean Girls knocked it out of the park worldwide. We had nobody here. Faith-based movies do well in Green Valley, and she tries to book them as much as possible. However, they sometimes cost a lot of money upfront to obtain. For example, it would have cost the theater $13,000 to show Cabrini opening week, the life story of Catholic missionary Francesca Cabrini. If people aren't staying home to stream movies, they're going to theaters that offer dinners and drinks. I think Tucson Spectrum also has the advantage because they have so much around them. You can go to dinner before or after, and we don't have that at our location. Becker said he'd hoped to raise $250,000 through a GoFundMe fundraiser, but raised only about $4,000. Backer said when the donation did not pour in, she switched to Plan B. Material was bought with the donations they did receive to reupholster the worst of the 900 or so seats in the theater, and she found a moviegoer willing to do the work. Countertops and new bathroom fixtures were also purchased and now sit in the theater box office and a storage unit waiting to be installed. We can't afford it. We barely make payroll and utilities right now, Becker said. Walking away immediately would mean laying off a dozen employees and the loss of everything he and his partner have invested, he said. Asked if they needed a huge blockbuster to come out this summer, Becker said, more like five, and then we'd need people to come out for them and not go someplace else. He is not very hopeful, though. I think that if we don't get something turned around by the end of summer, the bank will foreclose. I don't think we can hold them off much longer. And we're now at 9:47, a little bit past the halfway mark of today's read of the Green Valley News. Bill?
Yes, Murray, I have an opinion letter. It's from Roger Ellis. He has entitled it, In My View, Why You and This Election Matter. He writes, I offer one voice that comes with insight and experience. Having spent most of my professional life keeping an apolitical position, I can now speak and use the benefit of my 33 years of military service. I am a lifetime registered Republican and very concerned about Congress's lack of work, continuing delays of essential legislation to secure our border and fund our allies, specifically Israel, Taiwan, and critically Ukraine, are real threats to the national security of the United States. The hard-fought legislation championed by Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma goes a long way to fix our broken and outdated immigration laws. Perfect? No. But Senator Lankford's bipartisan work made major inroads for the Republican Party and gets us going in the right direction. It's how things should be done in Washington. Moderate Republicans and Democrats meet in the middle and compromise for the benefit of the American people. Moreover, Lankford's legislation will make our southern border much more secure. Let me address the elephant in the room. Our elected officials bowing to Donald Trump is the basis of those national security threats. Donald Trump is a seditious traitor who will soon become a convicted felon facing considerable, if not a lifetime, of prison sentences. January 6th is a black mark on American history that threatened not only our democracy, but that of several budding nations. As an experienced combat veteran, I can tell you Congress's continuing fear of Russia plays right into Vladimir Putin's hands. He counts on the chronic indecision, lack of action, and fear-mongering used as excuses to not fund, specifically Ukraine, and more broadly, our allies. Putin's nuclear saber-rattling is absolute bluster. He has nothing to gain except his own demise and that of Russia. A culmination of all my years of professional, academic, military, and technical education, You should know that the United States is already at war with Russia. The spectrum of war is far broader than direct combat action and often goes undeclared. There are too many treaties, alliances, and promises broken by the world and the United States turning its back on Ukraine in their time of real need. I never thought I'd live to see the day that because of Russian accommodating Republicans in Congress, the United States of America is seen as an unreliable ally. Murray?
I also have a letter to the editor. It's entitled, Europe Has a Them, Does It Have an Us? This by Bart Hillier. All of the primates are tribal and territorial. We Homo sapiens are no exception. We're quarrelsome and prone to violence. War is the way we decide who will control whichever bit of dirt we're squabbling over. Nowhere is this truer than in the part of the world, a small part really, we call Europe. For thousands of years, warring bands, both large and small, have tramped back and forth over it almost constantly, leaving blood and misery in their muddy wake. Just in the last 110 years, the two biggest wars in history were centered there. The rallying cry in every war is always the same. It's them or us. And an effective rallying cry, it is, survival being important to most humans. In Europe today, that's the rallying cry that is being pitched here and there among the leaders of NATO countries, seeking desperately to provide more military support to Ukraine. At the head of this group is French President Emmanuel Macron, who paints Russia's forces, them of course, as eager to move on NATO territory if they succeed in Ukraine. What's fascinating is that there doesn't seem to be any us. What do I mean by that? Well, for the last 1,500 years or so, European wars have been waged mostly by nation-states. Most of these nations had citizens who were united by religion, language, culture, and history. In a word, patriotism. It was straightforward and practical for the leaders of these nations to persuade or compel the healthy males of the populace to take up arms against them, whoever them happened to be. Most combatants on every side fought for God and country, not the cliche God and country, but for their lived reality of God and country. Let's take a look just at France, Macron's home turf. Can he rally his fellow Frenchmen, us, to help stand against them, the Russians? Of course not. Just about every sentient adult in Western Europe knows this, including probably Macron himself. Macron reminds me of the town marshal in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, trying fruitlessly to persuade his fellow townsmen to form a posse and chase down the hole-in-the-wall gang. Throughout the West, and certainly in France, God and country are quaint, nearly forgotten concepts. The cathedrals of France, once bustling, magnificent homes to their mighty God and his worshippers, are just relics now, interesting mostly to tourists. And love of country has been replaced by love of self, ease, and pleasure. The thought of young Frenchmen setting aside their video games and online porn in order to take up arms and slug their way through brutal trench warfare is a pipe dream. But what about the other NATO countries in Europe, the rest of us? It's true that some are less decadent than France, but none, I believe, would be willing to bear the tally of killed and wounded that war would bring. Meanwhile, what about them? Well, it's hard to see through the West propaganda fog about Russia. Remember John McCain's ill-advised gas station masquerading as a country line. But the truth seems to be that present-day Russia may have assembled the ingredients for effective war-making listed above: shared religion, language, culture, and history. And this says nothing of Russia's remarkable ability to churn out both old-fashioned and innovative armaments of war at a pace that Western nations, including America, simply can't match. So what comes next in Ukraine? It pains me to say it, but I believe it may be very close to whatever Russia decides will come next. Bill?
Yes. Murray, I don't think folks knew this, but the Green Valley News prints poetry every month, and they are seeking poems by the readers of the Green Valley News. And they say, if you love composing original poetry or found memories of it from days gone by, the Green Valley News invites you to share your verses. And here's one I'll read that one was submitted. The Cathedral of the Cottonwoods. A canopy of green in various hues of spring drapes elegantly over branches against the sky blue sky that peeks out to form nature's version of stained glass. Here and there, a poppy posy splashes out its vibrancy in sunbright patterns on the silent forest floor, turning the past into an altar and the cottonwoods into a cathedral with a calm that surrounds me like a prayer. Murray?
All right, I'm going to read another letter to the editor, Hamas's responsibility. My heart aches for World Central Kitchen and workers accidentally killed in Gaza by Israel Defense Forces. This sad tale gives meaning to saying war is hell, a war brought on by Hamas terrorists on October 7th, when they murdered, raped, and pillaged in Israel, killing 1,200 people and kidnapping another 240. This is but the latest in a series of tragedies initiated by Hamas. My heart aches, too, for the 130 people Hamas still holds captive and for the 256 IDF soldiers killed since October 7th, defending Israel, 15% accidentally killed by friendly fire, and for the tens of thousands of internally displaced Gazan and Israeli civilians. No doubt Hamas is cheered by the tragic deaths of the aid workers. Hamas terrorists are heartless, repeatedly using civilians as human shields. Aid worker and civilian deaths are simply additional weapons in their unholy war against Israel. These tragedies will end only after Hamas frees all remaining hostages and then surrenders. And that letter submitted by Becky Charbonneau of Green Valley. Bill?
Yes, here's a letter by Marilyn Kern of Green Valley. It's entitled Timing is Everything. She writes, a huge shout out to the well over 500,000 men and women in Arizona who have signed the initiative petition to assure that reproductive health care rights will be on Arizona's ballot in November. This assurance will allow all voters to express their commitment to we the people. That would mean men and women deciding our own reproductive choices, not our state legislators or the male territorial legislators from 160 years ago. We needed 383,000 signatures for this initiative petition named Arizona Abortion Access before it could appear on our November ballot. By the end of March, we had surpassed 500,000. We have until July 3rd to collect more signatures to cover any and all mistakes or misrepresentations of signatures on the gathered petitions. The primary intent of the Arizona Abortion Access Initiative is to enshrine into Arizona's Constitution the reproductive right of choice, a right for any woman to choose a legal, medically and scientifically supported safe abortion throughout her entire pregnancy. Also included in the initiative is clarification and legal protection for doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants, hospitals, clinics, lawyers, and others who may be assisting in any part of an abortion procedure. There is no doubt that we need this constitutionally protected guarantee now more than ever. Those of us who have been gathering signatures have wildly renewed our earnest commitment to reproductive health care and choice. Please sign if you see the opportunity. Please ask questions. Join us. Murray?
Thanks, Bill. That takes us up to 9:59, just a minute before the 10 o'clock hour. And with that, we will have a reading of today's Wall Street Journal. That will be followed by a couple of Spanish programs. At 11 a.m., it'll be the Spanish show BBC, and then at 11:30, Cuentos. And then at noon, we'll have a reading of today's Arizona Daily Star by one of our volunteers, Lynn. So a lot coming up. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned and have a great weekend.